This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Aesop Science here to make things make sense.
Today we're talking about brain fog, what it is, what you can do about it, how it's related to COVID-19, as well as depersonalization and what happens to your body during derealization.
Spooky. Whoa, those are such big words. Hot.
I know, I didn't really know what those words meant until I did this research, but I'm excited to talk about it.
Because, I still don't, because that's not
my research. How's it going?
Good. How is thine?
Thine is greatest. No, what? I could not think of a single other word that sounded
ancient.
Ooh,
there's a pep in your step today.
Is there? Well, we're so close to holiday. And I mean, like, time off. Like, I am really excited for Christmas, but to me, it's just like I want time off.
Yeah.
And so I today have finished most everything I need to for this week. I'm on track. I, you know, all weekend was stressed, so worked all weekend. But now I've hit those benchmarks that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do it.
Also, you're seeing it. Jesus Christ Superstar tonight.
Yeah.
And the Matrix Reloaded revolutionized Up the Yin Yang on Thursday.
Yeah, we were invited to a premiere in Canada of Matrix. I'm obsessed with the Matrix. Did not realize it was like an advanced screening. Craig just told me the other day, and like Keanu Reeves is gonna maybe be there. I don't know if he's zooming in. We'll find out. But if they're there, Keanu and what's her name?
Carrie Ann Moss.
Carrie Ann, thank you. I'm so excited. This is going to be a great week. Plus, it's Survivor finale this week. Oh my God, life
Mitch,
is good.
You need to like really be present. Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jesus is birth.
Jesus is birth. 20 minutes. No, Jesus Christ Superstar, your favorite musical. Survivor, your favorite show finale. The Matrix new movie, your favorite movie.
Oh, you're right. And I have finished work because my worry was we had all these things fun this week, but I was feeling really overwhelmed and stressed with work that I thought I wouldn't be able to enjoy them because, you know, I want to be able to sit back and go, oh, I don't have to be worried about something else. And I have hit that point.
Nice. Amazing.
How do you feel?
I mean, I feel good too. And I'm going to be there along with you with all of those things. I'm excited to talk about them in the new year. I'm excited for them all. If someone asks me the plot of The Matrix, I'm going to say I have no idea what's going on. Never did, never will. Jesus Christ Superstar. Also, don't know that story either. I don't know the story of Jesus.
Yeah, Greg has never, I mean, you've heard me listening to it, but you've never seen it or listened to it.
Also, I don't know the story of Jesus. And Survivor, I actually don't even get Survivor. They've done weird things this year. Everyone has a weird, so I will be there, but I will be smiling like this.
Yeah, this is definitely my week.
Yeah, and I'm gonna
and
be like
to explain things to you every 10 freaking seconds.
And every time one of them ends, I'm gonna go, oh, what? What?
Oh, well, it'll be fun.
Okay, let's get into it.
All right.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Mine's kind of related to today's episode. If you want to go first, or I don't know if you're
okay, yeah, because it'll bring us in with a nice little
segue or a bridge, if you will.
Segue. Picture me on one of those machines rolling down the street. So
those are insane.
I know, they're actually insane. And I love how they thought they were going to take off, and it was always like, no, they're not. It's like, no, what's really cool and great and healthy? Walking. So I'm reading this book called Brainscapes, you know, end of the year, all the science books come out. It's when I go frantically, flip the page, read, read, read. And it's really good.
Wait,
it's,
why do you do that at this time of year?
Because I start to know, like, you get to understand where the science books landed of, like, the lists. Oh, now you know
which are the best
of Yeah, like, I've read so many science books that sometimes you're, like, boring, but now you get to go, oh, you vouched? Let's go.
Okay, I thought it was going to be you being like, I have to read more. Like, you have your number you want to hit.
No, I already hit my number.
Oh, good job.
So, yeah, no, this is just icing on the cake where people vouch for good science books. Okay. It's really good. Not done it halfway through. Very interesting. Okay. But it's all about mapping your brain. And so it's spending a lot of time explaining what a brain map is, because obviously in pop science, we hear a lot about brain maps and fMRIs, and we use this information all the time in our videos to prove things. But it's nice to know really detailed what that means. And it is really interesting, and we know a lot about the brain, but it's also super complex.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, it's kind of like, okay, well, here's one example. The S1 cortex, which has to do with touch.
Yeah.
It's literally like a kind of chunker of the brain on the left and right side. Like when they show what it looks like, you're like, oh, that's just like one of the folds, and it goes from the top to the bottom. Huh. And at the top, they're like, that's where your foot, like literally everything that touches your foot, like neurons all those go. Neurons are there. And then it goes down your leg to your shoulder. And then weirdly, your thumb overlaps with your shoulder. It's like in your brain, the thumb, it switches to your shoulder. And like the reason she explains is like, you're not a perfect line. So there has to be weird things. Mm-hmm. There's so much of the feeling one is your tongue, because it has so much of sensory weird. Input. Huh. But what's really interesting is that because our hands and our fingers are so important for feeling, that's a big, big part of that part of your brain. Mm-hmm. And so we are sort of feeling the world fingers first. That's why they're such a big part of your S1 cortex, like in the actual map.
Fingers first,
baby. And so it's, if you were to touch two things that, like two rods that were close together with your fingers.
Okay, horny.
Yeah, like literally, I have a literal boner. Rods. If you were to touch two rods with your fingers and they were close together, your fingers would be able to be like, oh, wow, that's like an inch apart. Like they're really close or something. An inch apart.
Oh, inch apart. Well, okay, not metric.
Sorry. Yeah, okay, let's actually.
2.5 centimeters.
No, it's actually way better to say like millimeters apart. Okay. Really close. Your fingers can really tell.
Right.
Whereas if you rub that same thing on your back, you would have no idea. You'd think it was a solid object. Like your fingers and the neurons in your hand are better at deciphering like the detail.
Distance and okay, yeah, like they have probably way more of
there's
them.
So much more information in your brain because that's what it's needed to survive. And a really cool way that they show is the brain map of like pigs. Like their noses are crazy. They touch everything with their noses.
Oh,
and
cool.
They like, you know how you see pigs like rub things against their nose?
Yeah.
And so they said
you hit your head when you said nose.
I'm like, well, I know because it like it is kind of weird.
You know
that
they rub their noses.
Pigs are like nose first in the world. Like they're just like and they rub their noses on everything. But they were saying like essentially like if they rubbed fabric over your hand, say it was polyester or cotton, mm-hmm. you would be able to kind of tell with your hands.
Yeah.
And a pig's nose is kind of through their science 10 times more sensitive. So if you ever like rubbed fabric over a pig's nose, it would like fully know what it was.
Wow.
That was not even what I was going to say. The main thing I was going to say was just like it's all so weird how our visual cortex at the back of our brain, the right side of our vision is on the left. And the left side of our vision is on the right side of the brain. And it's also flipped for horizon.
Yeah, not to mention, yeah, I was going to say it's upside down.
Like the things you see, like if you're looking at a horizon line, the sky is at the bottom part of your brain. Mm-hmm. And then if you're looking at the ocean below the like horizon line is the top part of your brain.
Has to flip it for you.
Isn't that so weird? It's just weird.
And it's weird that like our like retina or the cords that connect to it are like go through a hole, and that's why you have a blind spot.
Yeah.
Like, we're a mess, okay? We're a mess. Yeah. But also a beautiful mess. You know?
We're such a beautiful mess. But I just am like, why is it all like the brain's just like, whoopsie doofers, oops, opposite flipped.
Yeah. No, that part is weird. I guess it just has to do with how the way like light comes into a lens.
And it's flipped, and it's just also evolution. It's just like, it just does what it does.
Oh, I had two things to love say it. About it. Because I thought book. It was so great interesting. Book. Oh, one's personal. Two is going to blow everyone's mind.
Okay.
One. I feel that my feet also have, like, sometimes I'm like, I can feel the tiniest crumb touch my foot, even wow. through my sock, you know?
Well, no. He likes foot stuff.
No, I I just mean, like, you put a shoe on, there's a crumb in there, you know. Like, your feet have so many neurons, yeah. too, they have to. Because you do. Actually lead foot first, yeah, not right. hand first.
Well, according to the book, it's not as much as your hands.
Fair, I guess we actually use our hands, but our hands are often in air.
Yeah.
Whereas our feet are always touching something.
And we have only weirdly recently in human evolution decided to wear frickin' shoes, which is so weird. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're right. Like, the foot was experiencing, I guess, they'd be the world.
Calloused, so maybe they can't feel as much. But
so you have
part number
feet.
Two is, I saw someone say this one time, it blew my mind. Picture anything in the room around you.
Okay.
Even if you've never put it in your mouth, you can imagine what it feels like and what it tastes. Not necessarily yeah. what it tastes like, but you Weird. Know the texture on your tongue as soon as you look at it.
This is all horny. Is it or not?
Picture this dick.
Yeah, picture a cock.
No, I just meant, like, isn't that cool how you're like, yeah. even if it's never touched your mouth, you immediately you can have a sensation of what that will feel yeah. like in your mouth. And it's probably also because your brain has associated, like, the way something looks with all the neurons on your tongue.
Oh my God, our brains are so amazing. I should probably stop putting so much marijuana in my body and absolutely destroying it.
God. Actually, okay. that relates to our topic today, brain okay. fog, which we'll talk about a little later.
That's true.
Okay, going into my what'd you learn this week? Well, what did I learn this week? Basically, it was about Zoom fatigue.
Oh, ever God. Heard of it? Even saying the word Zoom, I'm like, barf Bored. Me up to Carolina.
I hate video meetings in general. Like, it's so much nicer to be in person. Okay, so they've done this big study now where they found out that having a camera on in meetings causes what they now call Zoom fatigue.
Yeah.
As particularly in women, as well as new employees. So, basically, and that Zoom fatigue leads to reduced performance in those meetings.
For sure.
And the hypothesis is that you have to constantly evaluate yourself is one yeah. thing. Like, you're always getting feedback of how you look. And so people who are highly aware of self-presentation are, like, having to be way more alert. You have to, like, think about constantly how you look. You're, like, constantly looking in the bottom corner to be like, do I look cute? Is my hair a mess? Like, what's going on? Obviously, there's, like, conversations around if you're in a big meeting and there's all these faces facing you at all times versus a regular meeting where everyone's head goes to just the speaker, right?
Yeah.
You, like, have, it seems like your brain is seeing eyes at every moment. And the interesting thing about the study is they found that the number of meetings per day and the number of days worked was not associated with fatigue. It was having your camera on.
Turn the cameras off, huns. Like, can we, like, pass a law or something?
Yeah, at this point, because even after the pandemic, it's, like, changed the working environment.
And it's like, why do you need to know where people are? Who cares? As long as they're there and they're talking, even if they're not talking.
And meetings in general, studies have found, are not that effective. They're mostly time wasters.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has that joke. Like, this meeting could have been an email.
Yeah, and there's a reason that tweet has thousands of retweets.
And that tweet was mine. No, I'm joking.
I do feel like, you know, I was just dragged to hell in a meeting because I'm like, I can't do it.
Well, you are particularly ADHD, which is something
Well,
maybe
you shouldn't
should go...
throw that around because I have not been tested.
Yeah, I'm saying something you should go get tested okay. for because as your partner and as people around you...
Okay. But okay, might that's fair. Maybe you're saying that. I think it could be a little rude because maybe my brain is like, I don't like meetings. These are so dumb and I hate Zoom meetings. And I can't even sit there. And I have to fidget spinner and I have to doodle and I have to draw and I have to do something else because I'm like, this is pointless. This could be an email.
Okay.
Also, meetings in general, though, I'm like, I do enjoy them in person more because that's when you can kind of, at least you have the oomph of trying to flare up and be, make yeah, the like person around you fun. Feel something. Yeah. yeah. Like in Zoom meetings, I'm like, oh, I don't care.
And it feels so physically static in a Zoom meeting. Like, it's harder to move your body without, like, in a real meeting, you can move around and it doesn't feel weird.
But yeah.
I feel like in a Zoom meeting, I'm stuck in my chair in a way that's, like, very confining.
I also read a study about how there was an increase in, like, cosmetic surgeries throughout COVID, and they just know there was an increase, but they don't know why. And so, like, in the discussion, it was like, well, A, you have a lot of time to heal at home.
Like, without people seeing
But I still was like, there's a risk because it was like in the height of COVID. People would be scared to get procedures. But then another theory was everyone was having to look at themselves on Zoom.
A fair.
Like that people were like, for the first time, constantly like, that's what I look like. And I was like, that's so, like, that's just a theory. But I was like, it's interesting because we all are being forced to stare at ourselves and it's exhausting.
It is exhausting. I don't want to look
at it. Says YouTuber.
Anyway, yeah. we're filming ourselves. We're staring at ourselves all day. On that note, should we take a little break from ourselves?
Yes, please.
Okay, we'll come back and talk about brain fog in a bit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here at Side Note, you know we are constantly talking about the climate crisis and how hard it can be to feel like you are making a difference. But thanks to today's sponsor, Wren, that's W-R-E-N, you can. You have to check it out. It's amazing. We love this website. It helps to calculate your carbon footprint, then offset it by funding projects that plant trees, protect rainforests, and more. Signing up to Wren is an easy way to start doing something about the climate crisis and would also be a really thoughtful gift for someone this year. It's simple and easy to use, and you're making a difference. I mean, come on, what more can you frickin' want, okay? By answering a few questions about your lifestyle on Wren, you can find out your carbon footprint and how to reduce it. Unfortunately, no one can reduce their carbon footprint to zero, but this is a step in thine right direction. Once you sign up to make monthly contributions to offset your carbon footprint, you receive monthly updates from the tree planting, rainforest protection, and carbon removal projects that you support. You get to see where your money is actually going, which is very important. I love it because I can keep track of the trees I've planted and watch those babies grow. It will take a lot to end the climate crisis, we know that, but you can start helping today by learning more at Wren.co. And if you sign up with the referral code SIDENOTE, Wren will plant 10 extra frickin' trees in your name. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've been listening to Side Note, you know here at this fine podcast that we love to talk about therapy. We're always bringing the new insights we learn from therapy to the pod. That's why today we want to talk about BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist that you can start communicating with within under 48 freaking hours. Yeah, I stuttered. It was that quick. The counseling is done securely online and is available worldwide. Not only can you schedule weekly video or phone sessions, skipping the long commute and waiting room energy of the in-person therapy experience, but you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor and get timely and thoughtful responses. BetterHelp lets you change counselors at any time, which is really important. It can be really annoying to find the right one for you. So you'll always get a great therapeutic match, and it's more affordable than traditional online counseling with financial aid available. Just head to betterhelp.com/sidenote to get 10% off your first month. That also helps the show by doing that. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. Again, that's betterhelp.com/sidenote for 10% off your first frickin' month.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Brain fog.
The fog is coming over the hills.
Do you have any experience with brain fog? Or is like,
yeah.
Because you actually thought of this topic. Yeah. And
I thought this topic because I was reading about it, but also I feel... It's interesting because I think we're coming up on the holiday. I've gotten a lot of my work done, and I just feel absolutely burnt out by our job. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like I have brain fog right now. And that's what made me start to get interested in it, read about it, and then be like, we should do a podcast on it.
Yeah, I'd love to find out, because I feel like the term, even looking up stuff around brain fog online and the science behind it, is it's kind of, it's not that it's vague, but
yeah,
it can mean a lot. And
yeah.
Different... whether they're actually diagnosed disorders versus just like feeling kind of cloudy or foggy. Like it's kind of this abstract concept that people with different problems can identify as brain fog.
Yeah, a vague colloquial term for when you feel scatterbrained and mentally impaired.
Like, I feel that all the time.
Well, it's just like, it's hard. You're like, of course this is hard to like study. But one thing I'll say just off the top is that there are experiences of brain fog that can be due to neuroimmune diseases like celiac diseases, chronic fatigue syndrome. If you have chemotherapy, a specific side effect is brain fog, and even transitioning in menopause. Like I just want to first say before we get into more science for everyone, that there are actually medical diagnosis for brain fog, and the exact reason why we'll get into scientifically throughout this episode. But just know that like Mitch and I aren't saying we have like celiac disease and have brain fog.
No, but I will say separately from you, and I think it's different, I have had some pretty intense periods of my life with a kind of thing that I would identify as brain fog that, you know, my, and I won't talk about it yet, but like my research or what I wanted to talk about was depersonalization and this idea of feeling like disassociated from yourself. And I have had that. And now there's conversations around like COVID and its implications on brain fog. My experiences have like been before COVID, so I don't think mine have come from that. I don't think I've had COVID. All I mean is like I understand what you mean sometimes, and it's just like being exhausted and stuff. But I've also had this weirder thing where I'm not tired. I'm not necessarily overworked or stressed, and yet I feel disconnected from my own body and mind.
Yeah, and I've been there beside you while it's happening too, and I'm like, whoa, okay, true.
So where do you think you fall on that spectrum? Like, what does brain fog feel like to you?
Okay, so the reason why I found this so fascinating was I don't think it's like controversial subject in the vaccine be tense because it's a controversial subject, because it's like I was sitting on the couch, like, I have brain fog. I can't focus on anything. I'm feeling insane. I don't want to do anything. And it just felt so foggy. And I was just opening my phone, refreshing, like, just being so, I was like, this is a weird feeling that happens to me only sometimes when I feel like I'm, like, completely, like, exhausted.
Yeah.
But then in doing my research, like, scientific research, it was all relating to inflammation in the brain, cytokines like interleukin-1, interleukin-3, literally these specific cytokines getting released in your brain, causing the impaired cognition due to actual factors like that, like
something actually going on in your life.
Yeah. Or, so like COVID, for example, long COVID is something that's very, we talk about a lot on the show. We don't have enough information on it right now to really have like
concrete
science. Yeah, which is, I know, hard for people to hear, but that's just how science works. And the only reason they're saying it could relate to brain fog is because they actually study that, like, through the olfactory mucosa in your nose, there's a chance that the virus can actually like get through the vagal tract and increase cytokine release in your brain. And there's ideas that like cytokine storms are part of the like reason people end up in the hospital, when your body is going into this overload of cytokines it's like the body quote unquote eating itself. Like, it's like your immune system overworking, and interleukin 1 and 3 can affect cognition and neuroinflammation and get into your brain. So it's like, okay, that's the only way they're saying it could be related. And that's an actual physiological pathway that when I'm sitting on the couch, I'm like, well, it's not that, you know what I mean?
Obviously, but it could be related to that. Like, if you're having, I guess for you, maybe it's not stress related, but I'm saying it could be, maybe you're burnt out. It is the end of the year. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you're exhausted. Maybe you don't have the resources to just go in and be super creative right now because you're like tired.
Yeah. And they were also an emotionally drained. Like, they were saying that when they do studies on people who have chemo or menopause or COVID, those are all situations that are emotionally draining.
Right.
So the brain fog, they're trying to find the physiological reasons in the brain, but who knows, right? Like, maybe it is this feeling when you're emotionally drained, and in no way am I comparing my life to that at all.
Right.
But I'm just like, okay, like, that was kind of interesting that they were like, on top of all this, it could just be that all these situations are intense and then your brain essentially can't handle it.
I thought the weirdest part about it, reading about it, was that it is very different from like being tired, right? Like, you can have a brain fog and there's sort of a cognitive decrease in a lot of ways for people. So when people have brain fog, in most studies, they can actually experimentally show that their cognition's maybe not as high, or their reaction time, or those kind of things.
But they've slept well or something?
Yeah, the person, it's not to say they've necessarily slept well, because they might not be sleeping well, and that might be part of the problem. But it's not the same as feeling tired, right? Mm. Like, somewhere I saw it described in a study, like, not like it's being in a coma, but, like, being in a coma is not the same as being asleep, right? But it's, like, a cognitive difference in your brain versus going to sleep is a very different thing. So a lot of people with brain fog have it, and they're not like, I need to go to bed necessarily, or that I'm feeling fatigued. It's actually, I just am feeling cognitively impaired for a reason that is not clear.
I'm just thinking, if it was a coma was the same as sleep, we're like, I'm tired, put me in a coma. Like, there'd be like coma centers where you would go and just like really recharge. But it's like, no, that is a very different thing.
Yeah, yeah, you're not really necessarily. I don't know much about comas, to be honest. So I'd actually be interesting to like do a video or even an episode on the comas.
Yeah, because it's like we experience them all the time in like every movie and TV show. Yeah. There's always a plot line where it's like, oh, just put them in a coma and have them like live out their fantasy that way or whatever.
Yeah, and some, yeah, there's induced comas.
Well, right. That down, comas. Okay,
yeah, comas.
And hopefully we don't like, because sometimes we make ASAP Science videos, and every time we make the video, what we're making the video about happens to us. So hopefully Mitch and I both don't end up in comas for a week, and then we come back and have a real good episode on it.
Yeah. I will talk a little bit about my experience with this depersonalization
stuff. Yeah, do it. This is
it was
crazy.
Actually a few years ago, maybe like longer now because the pandemic has skewed my perception of time. It's probably like 4 years ago. In a random February, I woke up one day and just felt so weird. Like I was disassociated from my body. Like it kind of felt like I was so aware that I'm a thing inside, trapped inside this body. And like my movements and stuff felt weird. Okay, that was weird, but I was like, maybe I'm sick. But then it lasted for like a month or two.
Straight. Yeah, and it was.
And I remember like feeling like I was going to cry every day.
It was winter. I just remember being, because it was like constantly like vitamin D.
Yeah, like, I kept being like, first I was like, oh, I just need to take Advil. Maybe I'm like getting a headache. Then I was like, maybe I should take allergy pills. Then I was like, maybe I have a sleep disorder. And I went and like did a bunch of sleep tests. And then I was like, maybe it's because it's the winter and I'm not getting vitamin D. Am I sick? Do I have a virus? Like I didn't understand. I'd never felt that way ever in my life. That was probably like the scariest sort of like health thing I've ever experienced chronically. It has never come back for that length. Like it probably lasted to like a month and a half. But every now and then I'll have a day where it happens.
And didn't you do things? Like you were like testing and like.
Yeah, I just feel like I went and got blood tests. I went and got x-rays. I went and got like all these things and nothing. You know, when you do that and like nothing came up. Like there wasn't. I was like, there's a tumor in my brain. I kept thinking all these crazy things because I was like, literally, that's what I want to talk about. So depersonalization is like the detachment with yourself, with your body, and like being a detached observer. So like it really felt like I was something separate from my body and I was like living in an existence that was like fake. Like it felt like I was in a dream for a month and a half. So like everything felt sort of weird and vague. And so when this happens chronically, it's known as derealization, when you're like disassociated from your own body.
Oh.
Yeah, so depersonalization on a chronic basis is called derealization, which is in a Bo Burnham song. So I suppose he's had experience with that as well.
Derealization. No, what is it? It's like...
it's like... derealization. Yeah. I don't know when he says the word.
Wow, when you do it, it's so pretty. You were like... and I was like, derealization. Okay.
Anyway, I'm trying really hard to think of when he says the word, but it's in that song.
Derealization, and that is all I know.
But it can happen to anyone in non-chronic situations, and often in studies they show it can be brought upon by anxiety or stress. But chronic depersonalization is often more related to those people who have either severe trauma or prolonged stress and anxiety. I remember thinking at that time, I didn't feel overly stressed. Like that is the thing I go to now, because a lot of my life I'll feel unwell or whatever. I'm having a weird physical experience and I go, okay, first thing I have to think about is, am I overstressed right now?
Okay. This is so personal. We're like on a podcast. I'm like, well,
how personal?
Okay. What do you mean? No. Like 4 years ago, I noticed an issue with you're just such a different person. You're so much better at accepting the fact that, like, oh my God, how do I even say this? It's,
I'm
like
going to kill you.
No. Yeah, just like, and I'm gone. No, like, you 4 years ago had a really hard time acknowledging that things were ever wrong. Okay. Like, I think you, like, you've, like, self-identified as a perfectionist. You're so much better now. I think you were so stressed at the time of life. I remember I was so stressed. I'm like, we're stressed. This is so stressful. So many stressful things were happening. But you were like, no. Like, you were, it was like you were, I, as a partner who was beside you all the time, I was like, he's denying how stressful this life is. Was like, maybe. I'm just saying, like, when you're thinking, like, I wasn't actually stressed. Like, you're now able to be like, acknowledge that saying that your life is stressful or that things are going wrong doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Oh,
more
yeah.
More than and you could 4 years ago.
To be honest, I think with a condition or a problem like that, I've only now realized what chronic stress can do to me and that it doesn't go away immediately. So even when you start fixing or trying to get better, it's like, I think I was in the moment being like, okay, I'm going to take time off, and it wouldn't go away. And then it made me realize over time, I've had more experience with stress and anxiety and been like, that's not really how it works. Like, you, for myself anyway, I really have to put in a lot of work to get a good habit, get good sleep schedules, be physically active, like all these things, like,
is the
add up over months and months on top of fighting like stress and anxiety from work.
Is this related to brain fog though? Like, would they say depersonalization?
So depersonalization is a form of brain fog. Yeah. So a lot of people who have depersonalization describe it as brain fog because it feels like they're a little confused. It feels like they are not in reality. And so your cognition feels like heavily impaired. Like, I remember I would sit down and try and work for an hour and be like, I'm dizzy, or I just feel like I'm not here. I can't work. So,
okay. So I also have a question for you because, like, you always self-identify as someone who has a bad memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was, like, one of the studies was about pregnant people and how, like, quote-unquote pregnancy brain, like, people say that they are, like, forgetful, and they were trying to be like, is this brain fog? Can we diagnose it the way we would with someone who, like, has celiac disease and has brain fog due to inflammation in their brain?
Yeah.
Like, and they actually found that they couldn't find many physiological markers, and their prediction was A, it's something we tell pregnant people that you will forget things, and then B, it's such a traumatic, again, emotional thing to be going through. Mm-hmm. You're about to give birth. You're carrying life inside you. You are, pregnant women are the most amazing things in the world. In my bed, like, whenever you know what I mean? I'm like, it's the most unbelievable, incredible, challenging feat of a human can do. And, you know, for better or worse, or sadly, men, you never get to experience what it actually feels like to, like, really carry life. So I just think that also could be part of it. You're just, like, viscerally, like, losing sleep, dealing with the cognitive idea of birthing something. So anyways, they weren't able to find the direct correlation. But they did say that the reason they thought was because pregnant women sometimes say, oh, I'm forgetting. And you always talk about how you're forgetting things all the time. And I'm like, is that brain fog? Like, are you someone who you're like, I'm dealing with brain fog, like, a lot?
I don't, for me, I don't express, like, my forgetfulness as brain fog. Like, it seems like it maybe is related, but for me, it was like a totally different sensation. Like, I just generally am bad at remembering, but I don't.
But you remember, like, your keys. Like, I'm forgetful. Like, I just leave the house and, you know, I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot my mask, and I have to, like, come home. Whereas you don't forget things. You're just don't remember things the next day. I don't know. I forgetful is a triggering word for me because I feel like I am forgetful, but I remember everything.
I think that is just the difference between us. And I think you see me as extreme in some ways, but I think there are lots of people like me who, maybe I don't exactly know why. I can remember things once I get a trigger point.
No, you're right. I know so many people who can, like,
just kind of, like, forgetful.
Yeah, and I know
I'm not forgetful of because I'm anxious. I'll be like, phone keys, blah, 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 every time.
Yeah, okay. But
I also implant those habits in my life because I find myself to be forgetful if I don't. So that's why I do, like, the slap, phone wallet keys mask.
The slap. Yeah, no, that's interesting.
I slap my chest, I slap my both pockets, and then put my hand in my jacket.
I just, like, you before you leave, just absolutely slapping like red thighs. I'm like, whoa, boy. Okay, yeah. So, okay. No, that makes sense. I just, you know, brain fog. I guess the more I was researching, I was like, maybe I don't have it. Maybe I'm just on my phone too much.
Well, I think that's the thing. And this can be described as a symptom of many different problems. And some are probably way more severe. As you mentioned, even having a disease or chronic illness mm-hmm. can lead to this.
And early Alzheimer's disease like can also, like brain fog.
You have
like
literal.
Yeah, some people go to the doctor with what they say is brain fog, and then they get diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So it's like, it's not something you should ignore.
Yeah. And
if you feel like you have it.
Like one thing that my study found was that soldiers have higher rates when they're training because they're sleep deprived, they're in going through starvation and stress, and so brain fog is way more common. So as an anxious person, it almost makes more sense to me that I would have experienced it a lot in my life. The chronic part for me freaked me out, but maybe it was like I did find out I have like partially a sleeping disorder in terms of like sleep apnea that I've had to like work really hard on sleeping well. Like sometimes now I have a little Fitbit. It's like, you got 5 minutes of deep sleep. I'm like, okay, that is not good for me to know.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
But like, I feel it sometimes. No, but I try.
Hashtag not sponsored. I'm like, I don't know if a Fitbit's good for you, man.
No, because I also have anxiety about my heart rate. So that's why I got this. Because I'm always like touching my pulse.
Well,
on my
neck. This is the thing with the Fitbit and relates to this. Like a lot of these brain fog studies, especially on the pregnant people, they're like, it's nocebo. It's like thinking you have something. So it's like maybe the Fitbit's going to give you nocebo.
Okay, that might be true. But what I will say is what infuriates me most is when, and I'm not saying you're doing this right now, but obviously this idea of like psychosomatic, like giving yourself diseases or issues, that can totally be a real thing. Obviously you can give yourself like placebo your way or nocebo your way into feeling something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think you also kind of have to like listen to people because a placebo is real.
Oh my God. I didn't mean to say that in general. I meant the Fitbit.
Oh.
I meant the Fitbit might nocebo you was my point. Not that you're nocebo-ing yourself.
Because of that, I always try to evaluate how I'm feeling in the morning. And I only like have recently
before
got
reading
this.
The Fitbit.
Yeah. I go I feel tired or not? Because I know it's very common. It's a conversation right now that people will use their apps to tell them how to feel, and it might actually make them feel more tired.
It is so wild that like placebo and nocebo are real.
Yeah, we need to
like,
do
there's
a full
so many studies that I have read some placebo studies so deeply because I was like, this is annoying, like this can't be real,
it feels fake.
And then they're like these weird double blind well done studies where you're like, what,
where it's like cured people of crazy
and
diseases.
I'm like,
they just give
Nature
them like
magazine, are you lying?
Yeah. Well, write it down as
but
an
it's also but, yeah, but it's episode. Also overdone too. Like everyone's always like, you're right. Everyone's always like,
because
but it's like, relax.
It's pretty unbelievable. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
And there's even studies where they told people it's a placebo, and it still made them feel so much better. Or like, I won't say cured, but they come back and be like, my back pain's gone, even though I know what you gave me was fake.
Oh my God, now I'm writing down back pain. Oh wait, well, we already did chiropractor, but it's similar. But like, there's so many controversial subjects and the facts can be tense.
Yeah, well, another thing, I used to describe my brain fog as an out-of-body experience, but doing research realized that is a completely other thing where people literally are like seeing their bodies.
Oh my God, like they're Second Life playing Second Life. They're playing GTA with themselves.
Well, for some people, it's either can be like extreme stress.
Wait, are you serious? It's like Sims. Like they're like, that's me getting out of bed and I'm looking at it as if I'm playing a video game.
Like near death experiences.
That is
or
insane.
Sometimes when people are having sleep disorders or like in the stages between sleep might actually feel like they're out of their body looking at themselves.
Okay, now that I'm reading this freaking Brainscapes book, I'm like, that's totally possible. Like, literally your brain is just a bunch of neurons perceiving things. Like, of course that perception can be altered in a near-death experience or a coma or a brain injury or a weird sleep part.
Yeah, something that always
so freaky.
Messes with my mind is when you, and we probably talked about this before, it's just like you have to remember that your brain is actually not trying to see the world as it is. Like, we can only interpret what our brain needs to interpret.
Oh yeah,
there's UV light, there's so many different wavelengths we just can't see because they're not relevant to us. Your brain isn't like an objective measuring tool for the world around
it's
you.
Literally only it's only a measuring tool visually for the visual light spectrum
for
which
what's
is
relevant
sliver of the electromagnetic spectrum. Like,
exactly.
That is crazy. Also, your brain, like, this is going back to the book, but like, if you look at something, it focuses in on that specific thing. So if you move your eye around, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm looking at that thing. But there still is the whole visual cortex around where your brain is focusing.
Yeah.
And they were like, if the visual cortex itself in your brain, which is pretty efficient, would need to be at least 13 times bigger if your eyes were to take in everything equally.
Say that again. Sorry. I was only half listening because I was scrolling on my page. Say the last part. Wow. Say the last part.
Oh my God. I hope it made sense though. I don't know.
Maybe it did. And I just say it one more time.
Okay. So it's like, you know, when you focus in on something across the wall and your eye, even reading a book, it has to focus as it moves along.
Yes.
The visual cortex, the back of your head, they think physiologically, so you'd have to have a big mound of freaking skull and weird stuff back there, would need to be 13 times bigger if your eyes were to take in everything equally.
Oh,
and
wow.
not focus on them.
If you didn't have
the focusing capability that we have as humans.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense. It would be crazy if you could focus on like everything in your field of vision.
But then like they were saying some animals kind of do.
Oh, wow.
Or like there's just, we all perceive so differently as animals, but like ours is like a focal one.
Yes.
And it is true. It's like, this is efficient. Like if I took this all in, I'd be like, oh my God.
Spotlight focus.
I would be so distracted by whoever's outside.
I mean, that, actually, I'm not going to get into this. Where should we go from here?
Whatever you scrolled to, babes.
Oh, I was just seeing what else I had written. Because there's also like cloudy consciousness, which is like another form that is described as brain fog.
I would hope those are similar.
Yeah, I don't know. There's
actually, I have cloudy consciousness, not brain fog.
I'm trying to figure out what else I had wrote. Did you do any more looking into the COVID-19 stuff?
Well, okay, it's essentially when you get bad COVID, you can have an increase in a lot of inflammation.
Okay, so that's why they
biochemical inflammation molecules in your body. Some of those pass the blood-brain barrier. Physiologically, that will lead to cognitive impairments. We know this because part of getting COVID, and I think many people will have known this, is like you actually, you know, you see things. If it's really bad, you have really intense cognitive impairments. Some people like see really awful things. Like it becomes a physiological and quite psychologically damaging disease. So obviously there's things affecting your brain. So their whole thing about long COVID, there is no proof that in any way COVID causes brain fog
right now, kind of like,
but they're looking at the pathways of the virus and what it does and thinking, okay, there's like, there could easily be something that in the future we'll know more about.
Okay.
But there's no proof. And there are, as I said, interleukin-1, interleukin-3, cytokines, inflammatory factors that go into your brain if you've got bad COVID. And that's going to affect your brain and cause your brain to inflame, which
do you feel like
leads to brain
I'm
fog.
Switching from COVID because I realized I asked you that, but you had kind of already answered it.
No, but it's good to know because it's what people talk about a lot.
I'm curious, like, how you feel about your brain in general. Like, I'm asking, like, not in, like, how intelligent you are or whatever, but do you feel like your brain's just always cooperating with you? And I don't mean psychologically. I mean, like, physically. Huh. Like, I would say for myself, to give the example, I always feel like I'm fighting a battle with my brain. Like, because there's times when I'm just like, my brain is way too physically exhausted, or I have a headache, or I wake up feeling like a little dizzy one day. Like I do feel like my brain, I'm like, ugh, what is wrong with it? Wow. But then when I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. But I feel like, you know, within a week, a couple times in that week, I'm going to be like, oh, this is a brain day. This is a brain day where my brain is like impaired.
Wow.
But that's when I think maybe I do have like a problem with sleeping or something like that. That's like affecting me.
So I love to sleep. I sleep a lot. And we have a very like privileged life in the sense that we work from this dang house. I mean, in some ways we're trapped in a jail, but like we don't ever have to get up for a certain time. So I go to bed pretty early and I sleep as long as I feel like I need to in most cases. So that was just sort of the sleep thing. Like I haven't had that. I don't ever feel like I'm deprived of sleep unless I'm drinking or I've done it to myself. And then I'm like, you did this to yourself and it kind of helps
me. It makes sense.
Because I'm like, well, I'm not going to like be mad at my brain. I'm like, I did this, even though we are technically the same thing. Now I'm having a depersonalization. The brain is me. I am the brain. I know
but
that I'm
are
the brain.
You because think of this, you probably don't know where every organ is in your body, and yet your brain does.
Where did you read that? Did you think of that?
I saw it on TikTok.
Oh my God, I was like, tattoo that on your damn body. No, because
weird that like your brain understands where everything in your body is, every neuron.
Wait, Mitch, that is why you feel depersonalization. I actually think I'm having a panic attack. I'm like, that is insane. It's literally chatting to my pancreas all day. I'm like, where's my pancreas?
Because it's literally like, yeah, that goes back to
I want to barf.
You actually not perceiving the world. It's like your brain only lets you know, your consciousness know what it needs to know.
Literally, you're crazy. I'm like, yeah, I'm actually fine with my brain, but you're just actually asking amazing questions that are making me have a fully be like, no. And now I'm like, yeah, of course. Oh my God, I'm panicking. Okay, another thing that's weird about this like was just like the touch, like S1 part of our brain, like thinking about our bodies is just like every part of our body is like covered in skin. It's mm-hmm. like so weird. And then it's just like the eyes are weird. Like even I was reading about it, I was thinking about the eyes and how like they kind of well, like there's a sliver, and then all of a sudden there's just like this bulgy thing that like
when eyes you are weird.
Isn't that weird? And it's just also like the skin closes and opens. And like after reading it, I kind of like looked around at a dinner and I was like, I had a weird moment of like, we're all just fucking animals. Like, this is so weird. Because it's like, you know what I mean? Like, we're covered in skin, and then there's just like slits, these two fleshy eyeballs, some holes for nostrils, ears, anus, which develops first, penis hole, mouth, but everything else is just right. like blanketed in this stuff that touches.
Yeah.
So freaking weird. Okay, so anyways, I do really like my brain though. I'm just like, oh my God, am I really panicking?
Do you ever feel
it's listening to me? I have to separate. Say I like it.
Like, you know, I think it's like Men in Black where there's a little alien inside the human.
Mitch, I literally like don't, but you're making me feel like I it right now. And like now that. I'm panicking and I'm like, what?
Even when I meditate, sometimes I'm like, there's like a couple different layers of voices. Like there's like the person that's like thinking, and then there's a voice that goes like, okay, you should stop thinking, like turn your voice. And then there's another one that goes like, who's that?
Mitch, this is freaking me out. And I will say, until you brought this freaking up, I'm like, no, I've never thought of that. I've always just been like, yeah, I'm my brain. And now I'm fully dissociating. I'm like, what is happening right now? I hate it. I want to like Men in Black my brain and just never talk about this. I'm like, everyone listening, like, I'm sorry.
Hopefully no one else is having a panic attack.
No, okay, just I'm not actually. I will just say that like these are really cool things to think about. And in this moment, I'm having a hard time saying that like, usually I'm fine. It feels like I'm like, I don't have the thing you have where, and I live with you. I watch you, like, you'll be like, it's a bad day for me and my separate brain or whatever. Whereas I'm just like, oh, okay. Like I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah. I know. I think you're well.
No, but then the other thing I will say is also a marijuana. We talk about this all the time. In fact, marijuana.
Well, don't you feel like it like then?
I use
could sponsor this.
Marijuana in general, the plant, like reach out. We're really helping you stay alive. We are. But okay. I mean, I sometimes get really tired and then I eat an edible and then I'm like, boom, baby, I'm back. And I like write and read and go out and explore. So maybe my brain fog, I'm not allowing it. The real experience with it because I'm just eating an edible.
No, I don't think that's what's happening.
Okay.
You're fighting your tiredness. But don't you, when you're high, sometimes I feel dissociated a little bit. Like, but I accept it because I'm
high.
Even when I'm drinking alcohol, I have that moment where I'm like, oh, I feel different, like a different level of consciousness, and I'm a little more aware that it's like,
oh, that's I'm so separate from my body. That's like scary.
But I often get panic attacks when I am high because of that, because I start to feel so separate from myself.
But don't you like the fact that you know you'll be sober again and it'll be fine? Or I guess no, because even when you're sober sometimes you have it.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't ever think like, oh, I'll be fine later. I'm just like in the moment panicking. It's mostly alcohol doesn't do it as much. I don't panic because like you're inebriated in a different way.
Yeah,
but with like marijuana, I definitely get really anxious and it spirals really
and
fast.
It actually increases it, like physiologically enhances your senses.
Yeah.
So it would make you feel even more dissociated by what you're listening to, touching, reading, watching.
Yeah. I just find it's like I feel separate from myself, which when it's controlled and you've taken a drug, it's easier to accept. Yeah. But when that happens to me sometimes when I'm just sober, and then it is freakier because you're like, what? Did I take a drug? Like sometimes I literally am like, oh my, okay, I'm obviously an anxious person. Okay, this podcast is like all about me. But like the amount of times I think, oh my God, I accidentally ate an edible is like pretty often.
Wait, what?
But like there'll be moments when I'm like
the crumb you ate of your pizza.
I don't know. I'll just be like, I'll start feeling weird and be like, oh my God, what did I eat? Oh my God, something I accidentally ate, like had drugs in it, and I'm like absolutely getting high right now. And then I'll have a panic attack, and then I'll be like, oh my God, and then my feet will tingle, my hands will tingle.
Oh my
God. And then it will go away, and I'll be like, oh, okay, I didn't.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's not
like amazing. I mean, okay, maybe it's not amazing, but it's like I'm like, wow, that is like a cognition roller coaster.
Yeah.
So that has never happened to me. I'm always like, really? Oh yeah, I did eat an edible.
Yeah, because you always have. So I was like, yes, yeah. I did.
No, I've never also had that funny like, what? The brownies have marijuana at the party. Whoopsie, do first. No, everyone has that story.
Yeah, I've like, never I don't actually have that had that, but my greatest fear is that that's happened.
Also, always stoned at the party. Like I'm already like, oh weird. Well, I already smoked a joint. Doesn't matter.
True. I feel like we should wrap it up.
Yeah.
Suffice to say, I've experienced a lot of brain fog, and now you know about it.
Dissociation, or what is it called? Derealization.
Depersonalization. I had maybe one experience with derealization that was extended. If I understand it properly, I don't want to self-diagnose myself. Hmm. Like, I've never... I did talk to her about my doctor then, but it was like she never said those words. Mm-hmm. I just, reading about it, was like, I think that's what happened to me.
Wow. And yeah, I don't really know if I have brain fog. I think I might just be addicted to my phone.
I love how you brought this episode on.
Yeah, I know. And now you're like, well, I was like, it's like, it happens in people with celiac disease and autoimmune disorders. And I was like sitting there like scrolling on my phone like, oh, maybe what I have is literally like an addiction to TikTok.
Yeah, your brain just might be exhausted.
Yeah, it might be like, can you put down the little dopamine overload? Can you put down the TikTok? You need to stop scrolling and hearing like this. And then I went... And if you're gonna let me down, like that's all I'm hearing. Like as I, oh my god,
yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, well, yeah. Next week we're gonna be talking about the freaking James Webb Telescope. I'm so excited.
Spoiler. Okay, well, thank you all for listening and watching, and we'll see you next week. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.